There hasn't been a response yet, but we just sent it this week. But let me describe what my concerns are. The president has created 18 new positions, not by law, not by coming to Congress, but by the stroke of his pen. And these are the czar positions that we're talking about. The problem is that by creating these new positions that are not established in law and not subject to Senate confirmation and giving them a lot of authority, the president is circumventing the congressional role to exercise oversight over government policy. It also raises concerns about accountability. Traditionally, people who work in the president's office are not required to come before us to testify in public hearings. They're not subject to the confirmation process. So when the president, for example, creates an individual position such as the health care czar in the White House, is that person in charge of health care policy, or is it the Secretary of Health and Human Services? The creation of these unaccountable czars creates problems in terms of oversight, accountability, transparency, and vetting.
So, Senator, are you asking the president to allow them to testify before you or to go through a Senate confirmation process, or where would you be more comfortable?
As the first step, I want the president to make clear to all these appointees that are in these czar positions that they are accountable to Congress, that they need to respond to requests to testify at public hearings, that's most important, but also to written requests for information. I've also asked the president to not create additional czar positions and to not fill vacant ones, such as the green job czar, which was previously held by Van Jones. Mr. Jones's situation is a perfect example of the failure of the administration to properly vet individuals who are placed in these unaccountable positions.
And so you'd like them to go through the same sort of confirmation process that they're, you know, the cabinet officials go through?
I would. Now, let me distinguish between these positions with significant policy responsibilities and positions that are truly the president's staff. For example, his chief of staff, the head of legislative affairs, the press secretary, those traditional officers. What I'm talking about are officials that are performing functions that traditionally have been performed by the heads of federal departments and agencies. Those positions in the White House that the president is appointing have significant policy responsibilities, and yet they're unaccountable to Congress.
And talking about health care for a moment, which has been, of course, the big debate dominating the city so much lately, there is a health czar, Nancy Ann DeParle, but yet in the formation of the bills that are being debated in the Congress, the president seems to have let those be developed by people on the Hill and not by the White House staff. So do you have evidence so far that some of these czars are actually influencing policy in a way that is not to Congress's liking?
Well, certainly Nancy Ann DeParle, whom I know well, is a healthcare expert, and she actually has had a lot of input into the various bills. She's given advice. She's represented the president at various meetings. She's come to meet with me. Well, Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, is also having input into the bills and making policy decisions and representing the president. So the question is, who is the accountable official? This will become more and more of a significant question and problem as time goes on. We need clarity in lines of authority. We need accountability and transparency. And the proliferation of unaccountable czars undermines the system. It also raises some significant constitutional issues, as Democratic Senator, the Dean of the Senate, Bob Byrd has pointed out, the framers of the Constitution carefully balanced the checks and balances, carefully balanced authority among the three branches of government, and the creation of these SAR positions upsets that scheme.
Yeah, it's a very interesting problem that, you know, I think there were advisors during President Bush's administration, but as you say, these sort of mirror cabinet positions, and yet they're advisors in the White House, and there's very little recourse that you have in the Senate to sort of get them to come up and testify and tell you what's going on, you know, in their decision making powers and their advising to the president. But Senator Collins, I want to continue on with that theme of healthcare for just a moment, because I know you're speaking to the Association of Government Accountants today, and part of the theme of the conference that they're holding is, you know, waste and fraud and how to alleviate it in the federal government. And there is this mantra that it keeps being repeated that Medicare has a lot of waste and fraud in it. And then the question always comes, well, why don't we just deal with that problem rather than overhaul the entire healthcare system? Is it your view, from seeing some of the proposals that have reached your desk, that there is a way to manage the fraud without overhauling the entire system?
We could do so much more to reduce fraud in the healthcare system, but also to improve the management of healthcare in an area where it's not fraud per se, it's not fraud at all, but there are unnecessary tests, inappropriate procedures, duplicative tests, just because of the inefficiencies that are in our healthcare system. I've often wished that the federal budget had a line for each agency that said waste, fraud, and abuse, and then we could just strike that line on it. Unfortunately, it's not that easy. But you've brought up a really important point, and that is that there needs to be, in my view, more of a focus on cost containment within the healthcare system. It is cost that is the barrier for the uninsured. It is cost that causes a problem for struggling middle-income families. It's a cost that's a problem for employers, for state governments, and for the federal government. It is important that we expand access to healthcare. Our goal has to be universal coverage. But the way to get there is to reduce unnecessary expenditures, whether they're the result of fraud, outright fraud, or waste and abuse and mismanagement. Several years ago, when I was chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, working with the Inspector General and the GAO, I was able to hold some hearings that identified $23 billion of fraud and waste in the Medicare program alone, $23 billion, and that was many years ago.
We're talking with Senator Susan Collins. She's the ranking member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and hails from the great state of Maine. And also, the country has, I think, learned a lot about waste, fraud, and abuse, all three, in the Iraq reconstruction effort and in the aftermath of Katrina. Do you think the federal government, the bureaucracy, the people that operate these systems have learned the right lessons from some of these massive events of the last couple of years?
In some cases, yes. In others, it seems that the lessons are forgotten and have to be learned time and again. A lot of the problems that we saw in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina were caused by FEMA suspending internal controls in order to push money out the door more quickly to help the victims. Well motivated, but a terrible mistake. I think it's a false choice to say that you've got to either have good internal controls to prevent fraud, or you've got to push the money out of the door quickly to help genuine victims. We can do both. And it was the suspension of those internal controls that allowed more than $1 billion of fraud that we identified of payments going to people who did not qualify, who had applied twice, who were actually imprisoned. The fraud was rampant. And the problem with that is that means the money's not available to help people who are the true victims of a catastrophe. Just yesterday at a hearing on Capitol Hill for the new deputy FEMA director, I brought to his attention some misuse of Homeland Security money. And it seems that our auditors, our inspectors general, the Government Accountability Office, over and over again, give recommendations to reduce problems, but they're not always followed up on.
Well, we thank you very much for joining us with that insight, and you'll be speaking today at the Association of Government Accountants, and give them the word.
Thanks. Senator, we'd love to have you back again. It's a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm really grateful to all those federal employees who have those watchdog roles.